changing experience. Are you ready to renew your mind?
Welcome to a life-changing experience with Overseer Dorothy McGuire, the pastor of Life Changing Church Ministries in Charlotte, North Carolina. The Bible says in Romans 12, verse 2, "Be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." This broadcast is designed to renew minds and change lives through the Word of God. So let us join Overseer McGuire as she delivers us a transforming message.
Are you ready for a life-changing experience? Are you ready to renew your mind?
Would you turn with me to Matthew, the 11th chapter, starting at the 12th verse? Well, let's go to the 11th verse and read all the way down to the 13th verse. Amen? Amen. If it is your custom to stand in this house, we would ask that you do. Amen. I know the judge didn't walk in, but I know a greater judge. So if he walked in here from Mecklenburg County, we'd stand, wouldn't we? Because if you didn't, you'd find yourself behind a cell. So we don't need to be forced to stand when we know the judge of all judges is here in the spirit. Let us start by 11th verse. It says, "Verily I say unto you, among them that are born of women, there has not risen a greater than John the Baptist. Notwithstanding, he that is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. And from the days of John the Baptist unto now, the kingdom of heaven suffereth violence, and the violent take it by force. For all the prophets and the law prophesied unto John. And if you will receive it, this is Elias, which was for to come." Amen. And so we are taking this kingdom back by force. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. Tonight, there has to be work. There's got to be work in order for us to see change. I did not realize exactly what this service was, but it was so interesting that when I spoke with Lady Gwen, the Lord had already told me exactly what was going on. Amen. Because that's what the Lord will do. Force is power. It is used against resistance. Imagine pushing someone and they're pulling in the opposite direction. Unfortunately, that's what's happening in our churches today. You've got one group and one sector pulling one way, and then you've got another sector pulling in another way, and what happened? Don't nothing get done. We are not going anywhere in the kingdom unless we pull together. So entering God's kingdom, it takes courage. It takes unwavering faith. It takes determination and endurance because of the growing oppositions at the level of Jesus' followers. Don't you know, the more we follow Jesus, the more opposition that is going to come in front of us. You're not going to advance the kingdom riding on the coattail of somebody else. We've got too many people sitting in the pews singing, "I'm a soldier in the army of the Lord," but they ain't got no battle scars nowhere. You got to have some scars somewhere. And when something is taken by force, when you go and take a territory, you come out without legs, and you come out without arms, you come out with scars. But we're sitting our ministries, and they look just like they did 20 years ago. There's no scars. There are no bruises. in our churches. And you can't be afraid when you are in ministry to preach the truth and be able to take it back. It may hurt somebody's feelings, but that's all right. Uh-huh. It's all right, because when you're hurting somebody's feelings, then you know you're in the right house. So when we want to take something back and put it in its rightful place, we will come up against adversity. Somebody shout adversity. And so actually tonight, I really want to talk to you about my adversity became my anointing. Yeah, tell somebody my adversity. It became my anointing. When my adversity becomes my anointing, I need to tell you that the sermon tonight came from my own testimony. I was facing a situation that the adversary had strategically designed for me. It had my name on it. He had written Dottie Wood all across it. And you got to understand, when there's a designer bag, you got the name written all over the designer bag. This particular problem had my name just designed just for me. It was mine, all mine. It was a designer problem that I recognized immediately. The enemy knew this could have caused me some pain. He knew that it would cause me tears, and knew that this could cause me some heartbreak. It was time when faith had to be activated with this particular one. It was not the kind of faith that I had to talk about. I couldn't talk about this one. It was no time for lip service, and it was no time for looking deep. It was no time for talking stuff that I really didn't believe. This designer problem that the adversary had done, it was designed to take me out of here. It was time for me to stop whining and start wailing. Don't you know we whine too much? We need to stop whining and acting like babies when problems come up. You got to fall on your knees and start praying. I had to believe that what I had read in God's word. I had to believe that thing. Sometimes God's going to ask you, do you really believe what you've been preaching? Do you really believe what you've been telling everybody else? Do you really believe that I can make a way out of no way? Do you believe that I'm going to pay that light bill when I'm going to turn the lights out on? But do you believe that? It was a time that I had to call 1-800-JESUS to activate my faith. Uh-huh. The adversary had done a masterpiece plan on this one. And I had to wail, and I had to turn my plate down on this one. It was something that I didn't even know that the adversary would even grasp it, because of who I was in the Lord and what I did in the Lord. But don't you know he knows your every move? I had to wail until Jesus came in and intercepted it. Surely I thought I wasn't going to make this. I felt the impact of this one. And I remembered the scripture that no weapon formed against me shall prosper. And I put my shoulders up and said, no weapon formed against me shall prosper. But this was so big, I didn't really believe it. Oh. Ooh. Overseer didn't believe that. Ooh. Don't look deep, because there are times when you don't believe stuff either. You can easily quote it. But there's something that will come sometimes. And you got to understand that it comes for your faith to be tested. And so here I am in this situation, saying that no weapon formed against me shall prosper. And here God is saying, you're absolutely right. It will not prosper. But, tell somebody, but, you're going to feel the impact. It'll hit you. Won't kill you. But you'll feel a little sore. Because it hit you someplace where there was an impact. But when I look back over my life and I see that it didn't take me out, all I can do is say thank you. So the adversary is not God's ultimate adversity. It's not God's ultimate goal for us. It is not his ultimate desire for his creation. It is not his ultimate goal that we go through adversity. Yet, there is a clear message that God does use adversity. He is in control over the most adverse of circumstances. And he's not going to move all of your mountains. Some of your mountains, God is not going to move them out of your way. Your faith has got to kick in. And you got to know how to get around it, above it, and under it. In fact, if there was some of us, if adversity had not come in our lives, none of us would be sitting in here right now. Adversity in our lives has caused many of us to receive the anointing. If everything was perfect in our lives and no tests would come, we would just be hot-headed religious folk. The only way that you can understand that the anointing kills the adversary is that you have come through it. That is the only way you're going to know it. You can't really dance until you have overcome a detrimental situation. And I don't care who it is, you can't dance until you come through it. And there's a song that says, I'm going to do it in the middle of it. But not everybody can do it in the middle of it. Some can't dance until it's over. Some situations will paralyze your feet. Some situations will paralyze your legs. You'll want to dance, but you can't. You'll want to pray, but you can't. You'll want to talk about it, but you can't. But David, the song they just sang, I'm telling you, y'all sucker didn't even know what I was going to preach about. David danced all out of his clothes because he had stood the test of bringing home the Ark of the Covenant. He was returning it back to its rightful place, and he didn't just walk up there and pick that Ark up and walk back with it. He went through some stuff to get it back. And when finally when David gets back home with it, he says, I'm home now with it. Things are getting ready to change. Because now I got my blessing with me. So because David was so excited about having this Ark of the Covenant back, the Bible says he started dancing. When he got, every time he got a little closer, he started dancing. And every time he got a little bit closer, he started dancing. And the Bible said, don't you understand that there are people that don't want to see you dance when you're getting close to your blessing? Case in point, the woman that he slept with. She saw him dancing. He was happy because he was coming back home with the Ark. And because he was supposed to be a king, a man that was about some meetings. It wasn't even about David, it was about her. She was embarrassed that he was dancing. But don't you know when God does something for you, it don't matter who you sitting beside. You can sit beside Obama and Michelle. It does not matter who you're sitting beside. But when God brings you out, you're a dance. Matter of fact, you'll slap them all upside the head. Especially when they're looking at you a certain way. Like, why are you doing that? The Bible, it lets us know that David could not have danced until that battle was over. And while he thought, I'm almost there, he hadn't gotten there yet. But when the battle was over, he said, I'm over it now. Sister Shekinah, girl, the battle's almost over. You ought to start getting your dance on right now. Because the battle is almost over. I can see it. Tell somebody, I see God. I see it happening. I see God. It's about to happen. I see him. The Bible lets us know that all through it, that God is not interested in removing adversity from us. He's more interested in taking us through it. See, God uses adversity to affect something good. Remember Romans 8 and 28? All things, not some. All things work together, not pulling it separate, but together. He's not going to look at what happened over here and what might happen over there. He's going to pull it together and say, all things work together for good of those. Tell somebody, those that love the Lord. You can't fake it with God. God knows if you love him. I don't care how much you speak it with your lips, because he looks at your heart, because he knows those little deceitful lips will say anything. But he knows without a shadow of a doubt whether you sure enough love him. That's why he said, I'm going to work it out for those who love me. Why would I work it out for somebody who's against me? I want to work it out for those that love me. Sure enough, love me. He said, and are called, not that went, but are called according to Bishop Gwynn's purpose, to Dottie Wood's purpose, to Deacon Glenn's purpose. No, 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 no. They are called according to his purpose. Baby, if your purpose is all right on the money, he's going to work it out for you. But your purpose has got to be right. And so all through the Bible, God is bringing his people through adversity. And they receive the anointing after the battle is over. Job, one of the greatest examples of adversity, turning into an anointed blessing. From the first chapter all the way to the 41st chapter, we see adversity. Losing cattle and losing his children and losing his integrity and his character is on the line. His wife gives up on the one person that he loves the most, and that is God. But tell somebody the anointing is on the way. Because in the 42nd chapter and the 12th verse, we see the hand of God pouring out his anointing on a man who stood the test of time by giving him double for his trouble. Look at the story of Ruth. I'm almost through. The story of Ruth and Naomi. And her family ventured from Judah to Moab in search of food. There she subsequently loses her husband and then loses her children as well. She was in an unprotected foreign land and then decided to return to her homeland for safety. But God gives you what you need. What he gives you may be something you don't even like. What he gives you may be something that you would never pick for yourself. He'll give you what you need. And the reason some of us never prosper, Bishop, is because we don't want what he gives us. We want what we want and don't have enough sense to recognize that God gave it to you. So here we find her daughter-in-law Ruth. That was a gift that God gave her. And she decided to give up her protection by going back to her homeland and staying with her mother-in-law. Well, women, we know that the wisdom of Naomi led Ruth to Boaz. And surely God emerged as the protector of the unprotected. We are talking about adversity becoming your blessing. So some of you are staring adversity in the face tonight. You can't wait until the season is over because you got some adversity going on in your life. It's looking you right in the face, and you can't wait till the anointing shows up. You're saying, Wood, what are you talking about? I'm going through some stuff right now. I sure don't see no oil. I don't see no anointing. I come to tell you tonight that the anointing is on its way. It's on the way. It's on the way. I come to tell you right now that you can thank Jesus because the anointing is here. The anointing is falling down on you. You can say hallelujah because the anointing is here. You can dance right now because the anointing is here. Ah, the anointing. I can even see the anointing right now. Some of you are going crazy right now about some stuff. But when you come out of this, your face is going to shine like Moses. You're going to have a light on you. Folk are going to want to know, where in the world did she get that face? Ah, your thank you, Jesus, is on the way. Somebody going to be hollering, thank you, Jesus. In a few hours from now, something you didn't expect, you're gonna holler, thank you. You ought to holler and get used to it. You ought to holler right now, thank you. Get used to saying thank you. And if it ain't here, start dancing till it gets here. Just start dancing in the bedroom, just dance. In the kitchen, just dance. On the way to that job you don't like, just dance. In 1 Samuel chapter 1, I see another great example of the adversary becoming your anointing. He's a barren woman named Hannah. married to the man she loved and unable to give him a son. So no matter how she tried, nothing happened. When a woman loves her husband, she wants to please him. Don't y'all look at me like that. Y'all know we do. Y'all know we want our man to be happy. Y'all know we'll do anything to make them tell you, baby, that was good. Y'all know we'll do it. No matter. She wants to please him with the things that she likes the most. She wants to. If your hair is long and he says, I like it short, you got it flowing down your back. And he said, baby, I like your hair, but I like it short. In 3 hours, you'll be at the shop. Just take a little bit off the back. She will fix him that special cake. She'll make him that pot roast. The one that he liked the most. The one where they got all the onions and carrots and the potatoes in it. And if you ain't got no taters, you go to the market to make sure that they got taters in it for him. Yeah. You'll fix them collards. And put a little bit of cabbage in it. A little bit of Strickland for flavor. Just to make him happy. But women, let me tell you something else. If you don't do it for your man, there's somebody else that will. You better hear me tonight. I'm preaching, but I'm telling you the truth.
Kingdom greetings, saints. This is Overseer Dorothy McGuire, Senior Pastor of Life Changing Church here in Charlotte, North Carolina. I want to personally thank you for tuning into the broadcast every Sunday morning at 6:30 a.m. and online every Saturday at 9:30 a.m. on praise100.com. If this broadcast has been a blessing to you and you would like to purchase a copy of this sermon in its entirety or seed into this radio ministry, please send your request and or donation to Life Changing Church Radio Ministry, 3208 Riley Avenue, Charlotte, North Carolina, 28269. And if you are new to the city and looking for a life-changing experience, we invite you to visit with us for our 9:30 Sunday school and our 11 a.m. worship service, and on Tuesday evenings at 7 p.m. for our dynamic Bible study. So until the next time, be blessed, and again, thank you for listening.
Are you ready for a life-changing experience? Are you ready to renew your mind?
Praise listeners, now you can listen to the Word by going to www.praisecharlotte.com and clicking on the podcast tab on your desktop computer, laptop, tablet, or smartphone, where you'll find 5 dynamic 30-minute programs designed to inspire, motivate, and entertain you. PraiseCharlotte.com 24/7, 365. With the Excellence in Ministry broadcast with Dr. Dwayne Anthony Walker of Little Rock AME Zion Church. The Glory Has Come International Ministry broadcast with Pastor Troy and Prophetess Nicole King. The Mount Vernon Missionary Baptist Church broadcast with Pastor Matthew L. Browning. The Life Changing Church broadcast with Overseer Dorothy McGuire and Motivations with Gloria. We know you love the music we play. However, there are times when the word from a preacher or someone's testimony will get you through the day. So please log on to PraiseCharlotte.com and click the podcast tab.